Alright everyone, we're back with a new topic, and this week, in Kai's Weekly Playlist, we're gonna talk about something quite common, something quite widely talked about, and something that has garnered a lot of attention for classroom discussions. Can you guess what it is? This week, I'm gonna talk about poverty. And just like a lot of sources, a lot of internet websites said, poverty is a major problem for most countries, especially developing and underdeveloped ones. But what is poverty exactly? How can we define who is rich and who is poor? How could it affect the economy? And how could it shape the very society that lived in that country? So obviously we're gonna start with the basics. What is poverty? According to the Merriam-Webster, poverty is the state of one who lacks a usual or socially acceptable amount of money or material possessions. This means, based on Maslow's hierarchy, people living in poverty has limited access to physiological needs such as food, clean water, appropriate shelter, proper clothing, and even adequate rest. Another definition by Investopedia is that poverty is the state or condition in which people or communities lack the financial resources and essentials for a minimum standard of living. And what I mean by minimum standard of living is the material well-being of an average person in a population. It is the minimum situation where people could access enough for their needs. And what are the factors of poverty? This includes income, gender, race, education access, and even geography, which depends on quality of life in that country or in that area. For example, the people of Bhutan won't have the same standard of living as the people living in the US, because Bhutan is mainly an agricultural country where most of the citizens are farmers. Meanwhile, the US is a country that mainly focuses on services. With that being said, we can continue to the effects of poverty. What are the effects of poverty? They include employment, criminality, higher rates of divorce, urban decay, poor health facilities, and that includes infant mortality. For example, the infant mortality rate for sub-Saharan Africa in 2008 was almost 10%, with 155 out of 1,000 children never reaching the age of 5. This is followed by an IMR of 45 by 2020, 43 by 2021, 42 by 2022, and lastly, this year in 2023, 42. And this is predominantly affected by the lack of maternal education and also the limited health facilities such as hospitals and hygiene of underdeveloped areas. And in terms of education, in 1999, a study by Behrman and Duria and Zelsky showed that many of the Latin American students dropped out of school due to adverse terms of trade shocks. And as for the aspect of urban decay, it is the sociological process by which a previously functioning city or part of a city falls into disrepair and disappointed. As taken from the website of Nanyang University. A quick example is a fiction book by George Orwell titled 1984, where the area becomes poorly maintained and society starts to decline. A fun fact is that the income of the bottom of 1/5 of the population rose 1-for-1 with the overall growth of the economy as defined by GDP per capita. This is written in Dollar and Cray in the 2000 journal. However, there are still a lot of causes of instability that affects the poor people's social mobility in gaining more wealth. But before we move on to how economy affects the poor, we need to know why poverty exists, along with why prosperity isn't equally distributed. First of all, the causes of poverty are various and diverse. It could be because the economy is declining, because living standards are rising, and even drug addiction. Some may also be caused by mental health issues and debts, especially with the abundance of loan sharks. However, the root or source of poverty is actually a generational problem. Conflict and war, or recession, limited occupation offers and growth, lack of support, and social barriers such as the invisible glass ceiling for women. The root may also be the city's own weak infrastructures, such as the lack of facilities or services for the public to use. And people tend to return to poverty because of economic shocks and food insecurity. Economic, or we can also call it as exogenous shock, is an unprecedented event that has a large-scale impact to the economy. For example, stock market crash, liquidity crisis in banks, and rapid fall of currency value. However, instability can also be caused by inappropriate or ineffective policies that the government legalized. In a nutshell, there are a lot of things that are linked to poverty, and the poverty is not just a matter of material wealth and money. For example, an NBER research by Claire A. Balboni and others state that people stay poor because they lack the fundamentals such as ability, motivation, or opportunity, or poverty traps, which is the need of large capital unable to be obtained, and hence they are unable to improve the lifestyles they are in. Now, who is at risk of poverty? The people in risk of poverty is those that lived below 60% of household median income. In 2022 and 2021, 95.3 million and 95.4 million Europeans respectively are in risk of poverty, stated by europestate.com. And the highest values are in Romania, 34%, Bulgaria, 32%, Greece and Spain of each 26%, Poland, 16%, Slovenia, 13%, and Kazakh in 12%. And child poverty is indeed found in England in 31%, in Wales by 28%, and Northern Ireland by 22%, proving that poverty, in fact, does not recognize age. In addition, there are exclusion risks, which is the chance of not receiving support based on one's identity or socioeconomic state, as defined by the UNESCO. For example, material and social deprivation, or living with households of very low work intensity. And the people at risk are families of many children, single parents, people with disabilities, citizens of developing or underdeveloped countries, and people in areas of economies, or where high income inequality is found. Now, when is poverty highest globally? Surprisingly, poverty is like a plague in 1820. It reached 76%, which includes 757 million people. In 1980, it was 68%, with 29.3 million. In 1995, it is 70%, with 2 billion people. In 2008, following the economic crisis, it is 13.2% by 40 million people. In 2018, 11.8% by 736 million. And last year, it was 1.2 billion people. In 2023, the value is 44 million people. And to get the poverty rate from nearly 80% to under 10% was a shockingly 136 years. But how is poverty solved? How is the government trying to spread prosperity equally? Before we get onto the specific parts, of course, we need to know the general attempts. In 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, the first goal is to end poverty. And the third United Nations Decade for the Eradication of Poverty lasts from 2018 until the future 2027, attempts to pull 110 million people out of poverty per year. And in the same UN, the Division of Social Policy and Development, DSPD, and the Economic and Social Affairs, called DESA, assists government in decreasing the gap between the wealthy and the poor. And some of their supports are social securities, supplemental security incomes, or SSI, unemployment benefits, food and house assistance, tax credits, public schools free of charge, raising minimum wages, giving out insurances, especially in the health sector, and ban child marriage. And what is SSI? SSI, or supplemental security incomes, are financial help given to people who are visually impaired, 65 years old and over, and are hindered either physically or mentally. And the help of tax credits is the amount that can be reduced by the payer from the overall tax amount. However, it is not interchangeable with tax deduction. Tax deduction is the amount of income that can be reduced to pay the tax. And for the wealthier people, tax credit is slightly more valuable than tax deduction, though both can lighten the burden of taxes. Now that we have known a lot about poverty, such as its pinnacle in 1995, or the factors and the effects regards to the growth of a city, and even how it could be so much more than income, now it is time to talk about the psychology background underlying poverty. What exactly could define the relationship between poverty and social status? There is something called generalized trust, which is the trust people have in their fellow society members. And this trust is found more commonly in wealthy countries. As stated by Jan Dehle and Kay Newton in 2003 journal. And this is so because the poorer people have much significantly less resources, and so they couldn't afford it to get betrayed and lose any of their supplies. The trust is also highly influenced by the level and type of education received and by the income. Alessina and La Fera in 2002. However, it is also uniquely relying on the place that they live in, because the high class of poor countries still exhibit low trust, since the country itself does not have the socio-economic infrastructure to support this generalized trust. Takehashi Hamamura, 2012. It is also influenced by the environment that the people grow up. For example, the wealthy people tend to be respected in opposition to the poor who are discriminated against. Putnam, 2000. Socioeconomic status, or is also abbreviated as SES, is one of the major factors in how people identify themselves. Easterbrook Coppens, Mindset, 2018. Along with Arias and Sater in 2007. This means that the rich people value their wealth to the point that they consider it as part of their identity. And hence, the rights of those in poverty are not properly taken account as they aren't able to voice themselves in court, HRW.com. And since the poor people lack the money they could consider as their identity, it shapes their mindset of insecurity and self-undervalue. Then there is a misconception that the same poverty as resulted by one's own laziness, immorality, and irresponsibility. And this just proves that the nature and structure of society greatly impacts the barriers faced by marginalized groups. We can call it segregation, even if it is invisible or indirect. And this is what the study by the University of Michigan had concluded. And that's actually all that you needed to know about poverty. It's not something that you could automatically assume because of a single person, or it's something that happens because one lacks the ability or one lacks the motivation to overcome that hurdle. But it's also about opportunity and about the division between socioeconomical classes. It is more than just the economy, but also about the justice and human rights. It is about giving this poverty children the education, the way of life that other wealthier children get to live, and also about giving the balance of work and life for overworked employees in poorer countries. It is not just simply lack of material wealth, it's also about the way we as whole interpret the poorer society and how they're looked down upon, while the wealthier is even closer to success. Poverty also shed light to the difference of income between gender and race, and how some distribution of incomes are actually dependent on it. And no matter how developed a country is, no matter how modern, how high technological an area is, there will always still be people living under the line of poverty. And even though it's subjective how to put people into that category, poverty is a general term and one that covers a broad range, from the citizens of war, to the children of rural areas, to the families living in semi-basements, and the people chased by loan sharks. There's just so much truth in the Korean film Parasite between the stereotypes of the rich and the poor, and maybe that was why it gained 4 Academy Awards. Maybe, even if the government does reduce the gap between socioeconomic classes, there will always be a fine line between them, and that equality is merely an illusion, as it was not about bringing everything or everyone in the same plane, but it was about the opportunity, it was about the access that the government can give to the people so that they could climb the caste and improve the society as whole. And by then, I do believe that the injustice and discrimination would recede as the awareness is increased. And that's all for today. It's quite a long podcast as I kind of dug myself into the web. This is actually one of my most interesting topics to immerse myself in. And well, my mouth and throat is getting dry, so have a great day and let's meet next time.